hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Sharing in this amazing series that you have been doing that I've been tracking with you called Lead, Making a Difference, Making an Influence and a Difference in the context that God has placed you in. And in light of that, I've got a question to pose to you tonight, just to start you thinking about this. If Jesus was here tonight and he met you and you like were face to face with Jesus and he outlined a vision for the rest of your life, a purpose, if you like, for the rest of your life, what do you think he'd say? Interesting question. Do you think you know what he'd say? Yeah? Maybe, maybe not. Because this actually happened to somebody. Jesus was with his disciples a couple of thousand years ago, admittedly, but still, same principle applies. This guy named Peter, and this is what happens. We'll pick it up in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, says this. When Jesus arrived at the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about who the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some think he's John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, and others the prophets." He pressed them. He said, "And how about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter, this was a bit of a bold move. If you know anything of the Gospels, Peter's the guy he's the outspoken guy. He's the guy that takes the risks. He gives it a go. You know, he goes, "Oh, well, I'll give it a go. I'll try and answer the question." And he's rewarded this time. Like, he gets it right. And so Jesus came back to Peter and says this, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am." Okay. Now, as history goes on, we know a lot more about who Jesus is and why he is the Son of God and why he came to do what he did. But here, this was an amazing declaration of Peter, because this was only starting to unfold to the disciples and people that were close to Jesus, where they were just starting to understand who Jesus really is. But because Peter gets this answer right, this is what Jesus says. And the next line is really interesting. Jesus says this, "And now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are." And that's what I'm getting you to imagine tonight, is if Jesus stood right in front of you and said, "I will tell you who you really are and who you're going to be, who I've created you to be." Imagine that. Wouldn't that be really cool? Because it knocked Peter's socks off. This blew him away, okay? So this is what Jesus says. "You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy, not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." Now, you might think, "Oh, yeah, okay, that's pretty cool." No, you've got to get your head around what's going on here, okay? So this is the God who created the world, okay? Come in the flesh, hanging around on earth, doing miracles, doing incredible stuff. And you're one of his followers. And he looks you in the eye and he says, "Hey, in the future, this thing that I've begun, that is going to go around the world and change billions of people's lives, you're the CEO." That's pretty cool. Like, don't you think that's pretty cool? I think that's pretty cool. Like, I think Peter would go, "Oh man, I'm the man, you know, like, I'm the guy." And so Jesus goes on to say this, "And that's not all. You'll have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any door and every door. No barrier between heaven and earth earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. I mean, this was a powerful prophetic word that Jesus gives over Peter's life. You know, before this, Peter was a fisherman. Okay, he had an ordinary job. He had a heart to do what God had called him to do, but God was calling him to much more than, you know, pulling fish out of the lake. He was calling him to a much higher purpose, a purpose that would change the world. And what we're reading here isn't, you might kind of go, well, that's really cool for Peter, but, you know, what about me? But here's the point, is that what Jesus is saying over Peter, he says over you tonight. It's a prophecy for us. And you might say, well, how do we know that? How do we know that God has a purpose? How do we know that God has a vision for everybody? Well, in Ephesians 2 verse 10, which is a declaration of Paul, who's now leading in this church that Peter helped establish, says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And this is a theme that goes all the way through Scripture. And it's the theme that there is no accidents in God. I don't care how you came to be on this planet, the circumstances of your family background or what you've done with your life, it actually doesn't matter in God. In terms of how God sees you, he is creating a masterpiece in your life. He has a vision. He has a purpose for your life. And he believes in you more than you could ever believe in yourself. He's your greatest champion. He's going, yeah, go, man. He has a vision for our lives. He puts a personality and giftings and abilities and even puts us in situations in our lives where we experience things for a very deliberate reason, so that he can shape us and mold us into who he's creating us to be. That's vision. Imagine looking down through eternity and seeing billions of people's lives and having a purpose and a vision for each one of them. But that's what God has. That's what God sees. And in this moment, Jesus is just taking the opportunity to go, oh yeah, now by the way, Peter, here's what I see. You don't see it in yourself yet, but here's the vision that God has for your life. And so let me come back to that question. If Jesus was standing in front of you and saying what he sees over your life, not what you see, what he sees over your life, what would he say? Because here's the thing, God knows very clearly what that vision looks like. He knows what that purpose looks like. He can look down through time and he knows the difference that you will make in the world around you. And how he will empower you with his spirit to change the world around you. He can already see that. And here's the other thing, he wants to reveal that to you. He doesn't want to keep it hidden from you. He wants to reveal it to you. And as you live a life with him, that vision unfolds. And it's a much bigger vision than you can ever imagine. If you had asked me as a, I don't know, 16, 17-year-old teenager, just a few years ago now, my son's rolling his eyes going, yeah, right. if you had asked me then, you know, what is your vision for your life? I'd kind of go, oh, I don't know, have a cool car, I suppose, and get a decent job, and I might get married one day, and you know, that would be pretty cool, and yeah, maybe get a house, have a family, you know, that sort of thing. And that's all good. There's nothing wrong with having a good natural vision in your life of the things that you want to do. Great. But there was something in my heart that I went, there is so much more. And there is so much more for you. God has a higher vision for your life. And that higher vision is to bring his kingdom and to be involved in his kingdom work. And it's so much more fun. It's just cool. A few years after that, I was in my early 20s, I did this sales job where I was out in the road a lot. I travelled all around Otago and Southland, and so got into all sorts of firms and selling products and stuff like that. And it was kind of a good job. It was an all right job. But actually what I learned, what God taught me through that job, was actually the more important thing. And what I learned, and I wish now, looking back on 50-something years of life, I wish I'd learned this lesson a whole lot earlier, is that God is always teaching you something about his purpose for your life. Every day, he's revealing it. It's not just in these moments where, like Peter, you have this big encounter with Jesus at an altar call, and he goes, right, this is it. And you go, right, I've got it. Now away we go. No, it's every day he unfolds it. As you're listening to him, as you're cooperating with him, as you're seeking to go, okay, God, how are you working in my life? How do I bring your kingdom? What does your kingdom look like as it's working through me? Because every day God is working in you and around you. Every day God is working in you and around you. And he has a purpose for every person here. He has chosen you. He believes in you. You have an incredible future in him beyond anything you could imagine. If you had told me when I was 16 that I'd be doing what I'm doing now, I'd go, oh, come on. I don't think so. No way. Yet God had other plans. And how you do that is you just listen to him and follow along with the plans that he has for you. You know, it's you look at some of the jobs or the study that you're doing at the moment, and you just think, I don't know how this takes me to where God, where he's, the plans that he has for me. But be patient, be faithful where you are. Listen for where God has you at the moment. And some of you at the moment are kind of in a time of transition where you were doing something and it felt really purposeful, and you know that there is something more for you that is right in the center of what God has for you, but you kind of feel like you're in a desert place at the moment. You're not in a desert place. This isn't in my notes, by the way. This is just a prophetic word for some of you here, okay? God is telling you, you're not in a desert place. You're in a place of preparation. And press into him and keep listening, because the things that you are learning in this season is preparing you for the next season. Okay? See, and as we do that, as we listen to him, as we stay close to him and as he unfolds his purpose, we become visionary people. You know, that people should look at you in your workplace or in your study context or in your family or friends network, and they should be able to go, man, there's a guy who knows where he's going. He knows why he's here and what he's doing. In between my years at Bible college, I had this somewhat boring job probably, but it was okay. I worked in a toy shop over the Christmas holidays, because they're really, obviously toy shops are really busy just before Christmas. And then in January, all the staff want to go on holiday, so I had to cover for them. And some nights I was just, you know, working late nights on Fridays in this toy shop going, what am I doing here? Like, God has called me to do more than sell Lego, you know. What is going on? And then one night, I was working with this one other girl, and we're sitting behind the counter because there was no staff. We'd done all the cleaning. There was nothing else that we could do. And she goes, so what's this Christian thing all about? You know, why do you go to church? And I went, wow, this is my moment. You know, like, this is cool. And we just went then on for about another half an hour conversation, just about, no customers came in. I think it was a God thing. You know, no customers came in. We're just able to just sit and talk about hey, what it is to be a Christian? And she goes, oh, well, I don't think God would want me. And I said, that's the point. You know, God does love you. God does have a purpose for you. And I just was able to sow some seeds into her life. And then I realized, okay, that's why I'm here. You see, when you live with a kingdom purpose, you live with this higher calling that even if you are doing something that's menial or boring in the natural, there's just a much higher purpose for why you're there and what you're doing. And Peter needed to learn this. Peter needed to hear the words that not only did God have a purpose for his life, not only did God believe in him more than he believed in himself. Because Peter at this point thought, yeah, I'm just an average fisherman. Like, I don't know how this stuff all works. But Jesus wanted to encourage him. No, Peter, there is so much more. And God wants to encourage every one of you here tonight. There is so much more. And so the other thing that Peter needs to learn is he had to stay close to Jesus. And if you know anything of the Gospels, there's times where Peter doesn't stay very close. He kind of goes astray a little bit. And as soon as he does, he starts to slip away from that vision, that purpose that God had for him. But when he keeps his mind and his heart centered on what Christ was saying over his life at this point and what God has for him, he was fine. And the lesson for us here is in every area of your life, in every area of your life, stay close to God. Stay close. Submit everything to him. And there are many things in your life you think, well, that's not spiritual. You know, of course you submit the important things that you can think of in your life, or your church stuff, or, you know, when you're seeking to share your faith with someone else, you kind of go, well, that's a really spiritual stuff. Or worship, you know, I better submit that to God, and I better, you know, pray through that area of your life. No. What Peter needed to learn is every day, in all the different things in his day, submit to God and hear from God and hear what God's kingdom is like in that situation. As a hobby, Joel was talking to me the other day and he goes, because Ginny was away, so I didn't have much to do. So I was scrolling through Trade Me looking at property and he goes, so what's your hobby, Dad? And I go, well, I go skiing and I go jet skiing and, you know, fun stuff like that. And he goes, no, but what's your hobby? Like, you know, I think he was thinking that I was going to, you know, make models or something. I don't know. But anyway, he goes, what's your hobby? I go, I look at houses. And he goes, that's not a hobby. That's like boring, you know. Like, but that's what I do. As a hobby, I do up houses. I buy and sell houses. I rent houses. It's kind of what I do. We're involved in a project at the moment. And you might kind of look at stuff like that and go, okay, well, there's nothing spiritual about buying and selling houses. Yeah, there is. There totally is. I have a vision one day. I sense that God's put on my heart that somehow, some way, God will use this talent that I have, or this hobby, let's put it that way, this hobby that I have, that it'll pay for ministry one day, so I don't have to draw down a salary from church. I just have enough money coming in from other sources so I can do this for free. That's on my heart. That's what I love to do. So I kind of, yeah, it's a hobby, but I think God's in this. And so as I submit that to him and God, what's our next project and how do we tackle it? We find God's leading and guiding in that and how we do that. So everything. Don't just see that there are spiritual and natural aspects to your life. Submit to God in everything that you do. And a really helpful question that I'm sure Peter learned in his context, but we all need to learn in our context, is what does it mean to bring God's kingdom in this context? When you're sitting around Christmas dinner with your family, go, what does the kingdom of God look like here? Because the kingdom of God has an expression in the way you relate to others, right? Do you agree? Yeah? The kingdom of God has an expression in your attitude to how you do work, how hard you work, how you serve your employer. So every day, in every context that you're in, if you keep asking that question, God, what does the kingdom of God look like right here? What does me serving your higher purpose look like right here, right now? I'll guarantee you, you'll be right in the center of God's purpose for your life. See, because here's the thing. God's vision or God's purpose for your life, it unfolds over your lifetime. You don't get it at sort of some magical age. You know, you don't have your 21st birthday and we all pray for you and all of a sudden you get this lightning bolt out of heaven and go, ah, great, I got it. I know what to do with the rest of my life. You know, this is not how it happens. Like Peter, even though Jesus makes this declaration here and gives him the big picture, he doesn't give the detail. He doesn't say to Peter, okay, you're going to start in Jerusalem, and then, well, you're actually going to get persecuted, so you're going to get kicked out of Jerusalem, so then you're going to go up to Caesarea, and then, you know, and so on and so forth. He doesn't get it all mapped out, okay? Because they had to listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit was doing as to what the next thing was to do. Here's the thing. You only need to know the next thing that God has for you to do. Right? Sometimes you've got to tell yourself that because we're all selfish and greedy. We go, God, I want to know what's happening 10 years from now so I can work towards it. But if you did that, I tell you what would happen. You'd do it without God. You'd go, cool, that's cool. Thanks, God. And away you go. No, no, God wants to do it with you. That's part of his vision, part of his purpose for your life, is that you do it with him. And the only way that you'll do it with him is that if you're relying on him every step of the way, every day to go, God, what does it look like today? So at the start of your day, commit it to God and say, God, what are we doing today? How do I bring your kingdom today? Monday morning, tomorrow morning, wake up and say, okay, God, what does this look like now? About a year or so ago, I just sense that God was calling me to use what he had given me to bless people beyond kind of the C3 Church, Christchurch network. But I didn't really know what it looked like. So I started to sort of talk to a few people and say, you know, what's kind of needed around the place and what's looked like. And sometimes it's a really good question to ask, is just to do some research and do some investigating and just see what God places on your heart and what vision emerges from that. So I was praying into some things. And then as it turned out, I got talking to a couple of pastors and, you know, they asked me a few things about ministry because I've done ministry for just a few years now. And they asked me some questions and I answered those questions and they go, hey, that's actually quite helpful. You should do this more. You know, you should help some other pastors like this. And I was like, oh yeah, I suppose I could do that. And then I sort of realized that this is actually a thing. You know, you can actually get training in doing this. And so I investigated some training and I'm now doing a postgrad certificate through Auckland University in supervision. But that's kind of the end result of that. But a year ago, I didn't know what that looks like. And a year from now, I'm not sure quite what that looks like. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can kind of have the big picture. God might kind of point you in a direction and gives you a bit of a push and go, okay, explore that, go down that track. And even though you don't know what it will look like, just if you know God's in it and you know that he is with you, keep going. Just keep going down that track and he'll open up more opportunities and make it clear as you go along the journey. Okay, is that cool? God has a vision for your life. He believes in you. He's going to bring his kingdom, like he did with Peter, through every one of us here. And because of that, we ought to be visionary people. We ought to live purpose-filled lives. And when people ask us, hey, what are you going to be doing 10 years from now? You don't need to be able to describe it in accurate terms because none of us can. But you can say, I'll be walking with God and I'll be doing what he's called me to do. Here's the fourth thing. It's fourth on my notes. You'll probably go, man, I didn't even know I'd gone through three. But here we go. God will empower you to fulfill what he's called you to do. See, Jesus didn't say these words over Peter and go, okay, see how you go, mate. You know, knock yourself out. No, no, no. God was right there with him. And actually, the book of Acts describes how God's Spirit came and filled the disciples, including Peter, with amazing power from on high to do what he's called to do. And so Peter stands up and gives this amazing sermon on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. And I'm sure on that day, when he sees all these thousands of people responding, he's remembering these words of Jesus, and he's going, "Ah, yeah, okay. Now I can see it. I couldn't see it before. Now I can see it." But here's you know, that's a good side. But Peter made a whole lot of mistakes as well. Peter's the guy that denied Jesus just before he went to the cross. And when Jesus rose again and he's around with all other disciples, Peter's kind of sheepishly kind of, "Yeah, hi," you know. He's feeling real bad, because he's completely blown it. And John's there as well. And you kind of pick it up a little bit in the Gospels, where Peter and John, there's this bit of tension between them. They're always comparing themselves because they're the closest to Jesus. And you can imagine John going, "Oh, so you think you're the hot shot, eh? Well, you know, I did this the other day." And Peter's going, "Well, you think that's cool? I walked on water. I beat that, you know." There's kind of a bit of, you know, tension going on. And here's the thing, as Jesus says in John 21, he says, "Don't compare. Just don't do that." And we do it all the time, don't we? All the time we're going, "Oh man, if I could only be like Josh Taylor, man, that would be amazing." You know? So, you know, we compare ourselves. And man, I wish I had told my younger self this many years ago. Because I so tried to be like other people rather than going, "Okay, God, who have you called Warren Gooman to be? What have you called me to do? How have you shaped me?" And you're probably asking the question right now, "Well, how the heck do you know that? Like, how do you work that one out?" Let me give you a tip. This is kind of a bit of a sidetrack, but go with me here. Take a notebook with you this week, old school. Make a new note in your phone, okay? And write on the top of it, "Things that I want to do." Now, this isn't big things in your life. Just, what do you enjoy doing? You know, what is it you like doing? Like, are you a clean freak? Do you like things tidy? Okay, write that down. Or are you okay with having a mess? Well, that's fine. Write that down. Whatever it is. Just who is you? What, you know, you do you. What do you want to do? If you really enjoy something, write it down. "I really like KFC. Okay, fine, write it down. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't need to be overly spiritual, okay? But here's the interesting thing. When you do an exercise like this and you've got like 100 things in on that list of what you want to do, is you'll see a pattern emerge. You actually see, that's me. And that isn't someone else. Do you get that? That's no one else has got the desires and the likes and the things that you hate, the things that you like, quite like you have. And you'll do certain things that are your passion and things like that, and that's probably the more important stuff, where you're doing something, you go, that's me, that's what I really like to do. I like doing this. I like explaining the Word of God to people. I like teaching. That's something I like to do. It's on my list. Pretty high on my list, actually. But it's good to identify that and know that. And then just do that with everything in your life. And I tell you what that exercise will do, is it will help you get to know who you are and who God's created you to be. Now, here's the second question that's a little bit harder. But don't do the second thing until you're doing the first thing. So the first thing is to write down, who am I? You know, who's me? What do I want to do? What do I like doing? Here's the second question, why? Why do I like to do it? That's a harder question, but God will guide you in that. And when you answer that question, it will shape vision and purpose for your life. Okay, let's just take me for an example. So I like to teach people, but why do I like to teach people? That's a harder question to answer. It's not because I like the sound of my own voice. Although some people around me probably think I do because I talk too much. But, you know, it's not because of that. It's not because I like standing on a stage or anything like that. No, no, no. I do what I do because I see change in people's lives. I see the Word of God transform people's hearts and thinking, and I go, that's why I do what I do. When you know that, that speaks to your purpose. That creates vision. You know, when you read secular books around this sort of stuff, they have this kind of other language for like find your voice and things like that, you know. But we understand this stuff because we know that God has a purpose for our lives. God has a vision for us, and as we listen to Him, as we look to how He's created us, we step into who He's called us to be. Now, the interesting thing that happens, this isn't, if you've got your Bibles open or the app open, you're probably reading on and going, hang on, things change a bit here for Peter. It certainly does. Let's read on. Matthew 16, verse 21. Then Jesus made it very clear to His disciples that it was now necessary for Him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day be raised alive. Peter took Him by the hand, protesting, "Impossible, Master, that can never be." Now, just stop at this point. You know, like, you can see what's going on here. Peter's just being told that he's the guy. Like, he's going to be used by God in a really mighty way. And then Jesus says, "Hey, this is going to happen." And Peter's like going, "Hey, no way. Yeah, hey, you've just made me the man, and I'm going to tell you how it's going to roll here." And then Jesus swerves around and says to Peter, "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." Whoa! Like, far out. That's really, you imagine that. You imagine, like, imagine Jesus calling you Satan. You know, you're just like, your head's now spinning going, "Oh, what just happened there? I thought I was the guy. You know, I thought you just prophesied this incredible purpose and vision over my life." And now is that vision and that purpose not true? No, it's all true. It was all true. But Peter took his sight off that vision and just started to look in the natural at what he wanted. Do you get the point? We can so easily step away and step out of God's purpose if we don't stay with Christ. But when we stay with Christ, when we stay connected to Him, when we allow Him to change who we are, we will stay on track with what He's called us to do. God will focus more on who you are than what you do. We are really focused in Western culture on what you do. You know, you go to any party and people are going to, if they're meeting you for the first time, go, "So what do you do?" You know, and your answer to that question is going to sort of determine your identity and how they see you. But God's never going to ask, you know, sort of, what do you do? You know, like, what's your job? And never going to rank you that way. When you get to heaven, your job isn't going to count for your status in heaven, but your character will. And the interesting thing, and part of my job is I get to take a few funerals. You know, they very rarely talk about the person's occupation at their funeral. They talk lots and lots about who they were as people. Your legacy isn't what earns you money. Your legacy is your character. So what John was sharing about last week is your integrity, your character, your attitudes. That matters to God. That really, really matters. And what Jesus was saying to Peter here is, "Peter, you've got a lot to learn, mate. You've got a lot of growth in your character." Now, it doesn't mean to say God was giving up on him. Peter just had to learn a tough lesson. And sometimes we need to learn tough lessons, right? Right? Right. Because there is a huge work that needs to be done in our character. I employ people. It's part of my job. I have a team of staff around me. My wife has, she is also an employer. She has about 30 staff working for her. And so we often talk about leadership and staffing and things like that. Can I assure you from people who have experience in this sort of thing, employers, leaders who are looking for other leaders, the primary thing they're looking for is your character. Now, they may not express it like that in a job interview or anything like that, but that's what they're looking for. Will you actually show up on time? Will you actually do a day's hard work? Will you have a positive attitude about your work? Will you complain about it all the time? Those things all speak to your character. Your character will make the difference between your success and failure in life. And God is wanting to shape your character. It will shape, your character will shape your vision. Your character will shape your purpose. So he works on who you are more than what you do. So to bring this all together, what do we see in this encounter, in this interchange between Jesus and Peter? Jesus is standing right before Peter, and he's saying, as he says to us, I believe in you. I'm going to take you places that you never dreamed of. But you've got to stay close to me, mate. Really, really close. Because I'm not just going to tell you what you're going to do. I'm going to shape who you are. And I'm going to shape who you are into this incredible vessel of mine to be used for my purposes, to bring my kingdom in incredible ways. And God is right in front of you tonight, and he's saying the same thing. He's saying, the job I've placed you in, the study course that you're in at the moment, or whatever situation you're in, just in life, in the context you're in right at the moment, I've placed you there. You are there for a reason. And I am working through you in this situation to bring my kingdom in really powerful ways. So don't give up. Just stay close to me. And I'll fill you with vision. I'll fill you with purpose. You'll know what to do next. And as you do that next thing and that next thing and that next thing, you'll look back and go, wow, look at that amazing journey that I've come on. And not only that, here's the thing. Others will look at you and go, wow, there's a guy with vision. There's a guy with purpose. There's a guy that knows where he's going. And you go, huh, me? Really? Yeah. Because here's the thing. There is a whole generation of people out there who don't know this. That don't know that God has a plan for them. That don't know that God has a purpose for their life. Don't know that God has shaped them in a unique way to serve his kingdom and his purposes in the world around them. And that's why they're in despair. That's why they're looking to all these other things for answers, when the answers, not in those other things, the answers are in Christ. And when we return to him, we find real purpose.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.